Welcome back, everybody. All right, so I'm joined now, hopefully, by Gail Wellen-Enns. Hello, Gail.
Good morning, Jordan.
Good morning. Oh, right. So it seems, I'm a little confused, actually, myself, when it comes to Manitoba's plan to save our lakes. It would seem that we should be obligated to stop peat mining, on the surface, it seems that there is a moratorium to slow it down. So, now first, what is the moratorium?
Oh, well, in June, and we must remind ourselves, last year was an election year. In June, the government tabled a Save Lake Winnipeg bill, which was then debated somewhat in the House, but also it went into committee in the middle of June. And that's when speakers and members of the public can come in and comment on new laws and new legislation. So the Save Lake Winnipeg bill basically has sort of pieces or changes to about five mountable laws. And on peat mining, the noticeable content then was to basically declare a moratorium for 2 years on the expansion of peat mining in Manitoba. And that was certainly taken as a real moratorium. The law to save Lake Winnipeg was proclaimed and became law right away. Sometimes there's a delay of time between when a bill becomes an act and is voted on and passed and when the law is actually operational and in place. But this one was proclaimed right away. Now, that was the expectation then, and the government said nothing about the fact that there's quite a few leases for peat mining already granted in the province and also quite a few others that were pending. So overall, it's a lot of leases. The numbers and counts vary, but, think above 200 mm-hmm. leases.
So a lease doesn't mean that there's actually a mine in that area?
Correct.
So what is a lease then?
Well, a lease will be for held by a company that does peat mining, and it will be on Crown lands identified by that company where they know that there's definitely peat there to mine. And the leases are often contiguous. They're next door to each other in terms of you think about on the landscape. And then a company will decide to go forward with its application for mining on leases it already holds. And that application might be a cluster of two or three or four or five of these leases, or it might be one large lease. It varies a little bit. Leases are for 10-year periods. They have one automatic renewal under the Act. So we have now, we find ourselves now with a handful of new peat mines in the province since the moratorium and since the change in law in the middle of June.
Mm-hmm.
And the peat mines appear to be based on leases that were held before the change in law. Now, having said that, doesn't mean anybody's much happy with what's going on. And there's been a public response. There are appeals outstanding on two of the peat mine licenses that were issued right away last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And there's currently one under discussion with a lot of public concern that's inside the Hecla Grindstone Park.
Now that is just kind of baffling in the first place. I mean, how do you mine in a provincial park? Shouldn't there be restrictions? And I mean, I can't set up a tent in certain areas in the park, so why can somebody mine?
Well, it's was a little shocking to me to see how many peat leases had been issued in the Grindstone part of Hecla. Our Parks Act has land use categories, LUCs is how they're referred to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's about six different kinds of zones in our provincial parks. And there is a resource management zone in parks. You may remember dimly the province declaring no logging in parks back in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we haven't declared no mining in parks. That's a really short, blunt answer. But we actually, in this resource management zone, in Grindstone, in theory, can issue these leases and, in theory, can mine peat. Now, you haven't asked me what mining peat means, but it's strip mining, and it can be quite deep.
Right.
And you have a certain requirements in terms of reclamation, but there is no such thing as restoration because you've permanently altered drainage, and you've basically taken, various layers, depending on how deep you've gone, of all of the plant material, bacteria, and soil,
mm-hmm.
right? To get the peat out. So on that basis, this is permanent change, and the licenses to mine that have been issued since last summer, almost if they're not right inside, for instance, the grindstone part of the Hecla Park, they're right across the street from cottage, or right across the road from cottage developments. So these appeals that are in the system are based on, 20 trucks a day, mm-hmm. dust, dirt, noise, and ruining an ecosystem.
Now, this I'm not going to pick on SunGrow especially, but it does say this on their homepage. You go to sungrow.com. I'm sorry, that might not be the actual website, but they say that new peat develops 60 times faster than what is harvested and managed wisely. That peat is an ultimately renewable resource.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree with that statement?
I think it's really a stretch. I think it's really a stretch, and I think that they'd have a real challenge verifying that in a way that, for instance, the cottagers or the First Nations affected by these new leases and mines would accept. There's countries all over the world who have, in fact, completely stopped peat mining. They're, of course, mostly in Europe. Some mm-hmm. of them, of course, are in Great Britain. So there would have to be a reason why these other countries have stopped it. We're still open for business in Manitoba. That's again, another bottom line. And certainly there was every sense, and I was in the hearing room when the Save Lake Winnipeg bill was being questioned and spoken to and so on in June. So there was every sense from the government cabinet ministers that a moratorium is a moratorium is a moratorium, and that because they were proclaiming the law right away, there'd be no expansion or increase in peat mining in Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Mines Act, we have the Environment Act, and we have the Save Lake Winnipeg Act, and they are not necessarily operating together here. And there's a lot of, again, public concern and citizen concern about the difference between the stated intent of the Save Lake Winnipeg Act and what is happening instead.
Now, public public opposition was extended, was it to February, early February?
Yes, this proposal for a mine inside Grindstone Park was sort of posted over the hall, in terms of the public process was started right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the time period was through the holidays, and there were requests to adjust that. So it moved back from what was going to be a closure on comments 16th of January to the 3rd of February. And it's extremely relevant and important for whether it's business owners, cottagers, people who spend a lot of time in the Hecla Park, or individuals who are already impacted by existing peat mining locations in the province. It's really relevant right now to just sort of sit down and say, this is a one-page letter with the file name and so on it that needs to go in. And there's a hope that there'll be hundreds of letters. Now, the Wilderness Committee in Manitoba, mm-hmm. on their website, has set up a letter that goes directly to the licensing branch in Manitoba Conservation to be able to basically send to voice your concerns and objections about this one in Grindstone. And it's set up where the name of the developer and the name of the file and the number of the license application is already there. And you can alter it or adjust it, add wording, and send it in.
Now, that's only for one
uh-huh.
proposal. So the moratorium, I guess the province claims that that it would give them time to develop a peatland management strategy.
Yes, it sounds like we're going to have a process start at some point in February.
Mm-hmm.
that would be, the term consultation was used in a media interview. One waits to see whether it's a consultation or whether they're just going to set up a web page. But the two-year moratorium is being identified as a period of time to stop the expansion of peat mining while figuring out how they're going to manage peat. And so once we know a bit more about what's going to be involved in this consultation, it'll be easier to figure out whether it's a real process, because, you know, I'm being careful here because I'd really like to see a peat management strategy. On the other hand, we've started to see consultations that are just a web page, and where people send their comments in and there's no public registry, no open house, no public discussion, no public meetings, no way of knowing what comments went in. So I have every wish and hope that this one will be transparent and include actual public meetings and discussion. So we're also hearing that the province is working on having a boreal peatlands protection strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That was announced in December 2009 before the Copenhagen climate negotiations. And it's more about all the intact peatlands and wetlands in the boreal and in the forest regions in the province, I believe. There's been very little information about that, very little follow through, as far as we can tell, on a promise from December 2009. So we're waiting, and that's different, not to be confused with the fact that we're busy mining peat in southern Manitoba.
Right.
Three things going on, maybe five, you know.
So that being said, so what are the impacts of peat mining?
Well, we alter and change the drainage in the site and around it permanently. We lose potentially permanently then the water filtration and water cleaning services that this kind of wetlands, that peat wetlands provide.
Mm-hmm.
We are also losing the habitat for species that are quite dependent on and use peatlands a lot. And there's a wide range of species in Manitoba that are whose life and habitat is very, very connected to peatlands. And this includes moose, including moose when they're farther south in the province. You know, that was an eye-opener, because the province is struggling with the fact that we have dramatic decreases in moose population, apparently most regions in the province, and they're canceling the hunt, right? They're doing a whole variety of things because the numbers are so low. In the meantime, we're having new peat mines licensed where we're basically impacting moose habitat. So I had a couple of First Nation leaders point that one out, and I hadn't figured it out. Now, we're building roads in that have to be decommissioned and in theory reclaimed and restored, but often in Manitoba roads stay and then they become roads to something else and are used for other purposes. And we are, if I was a cottager, I'd be worrying about my property values. You know, that's not ecological, but it can be really a very practical consideration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the peatlands in southern Manitoba haven't been studied much. Now, that's just an argument for the kind of science we really need to be doing. And any disruption, as your listeners will know, any disruption of this kind, of course, is releasing greenhouse gases.
Right.
We're losing carbon. We're actually basically digging up the carbon and shipping it out, because the economics on this are such that it's about a $30 million a year industry in Manitoba, but only about $3 million of that stays in the province. And peat mining releases a lot of methane.
Mm-hmm.
And the province seems to be fairly, very, very quiet on the fact this is a lot of methane, which is, you know, much more worrisome than just the carbon.
So then, again, all these environmental implications aside, as the government seems to be putting it lately, Now, you said that 3 million of that stays in Manitoba. So is that something that the government of Manitoba should be considering? Like, is that enough? Is that enough jobs? Is that enough money to keep these mines in Manitoba?
Well, that's a really good question. One of the things I heard at the open meeting last Wednesday to talk about peat mining is that the actual royalties to the province per year is under $200,000 a year. And at this point, there's no easy-to-find public information about how much the leases cost or provide in revenue to the province each year. So there's a lot of numbers that aren't quite clear, but I accept what was reported in terms of the proportion of 30 million down to 3. I would say it's pretty easy to recover $3 million in tourism, put valuation on these ecological services from peat wetlands and peat bogs, and keep them intact. You know, if there's very specific local economic dependence, then if you're going to, and this is a big question, what's a moratorium, what's a peatland strategy, and are we actually going to phase them out? So if you're going to phase out and shut down mines and so on, then you'd think if there's a local, really significant local impact, then you figure out before you do that what the alternative is in terms of the local economy. Mm-hmm. All these things should be possible.
Now, I guess peat is used in agriculture to I guess, again, I'm going to go back to SunGrow on their main site. They say it's to beautify and to make infertile places fertile. Now, is peat sustainable in the way that we should be, or that we should even think about using it in our potting soils, in our gardens, and for horticulture?
I think that this is one of the primary questions. We, all of us, whether it's, you know, individuals, businesses, companies, restaurants, we should all be composting, and Manitoba probably needs a composting system that would dramatically increase the access and use of composted material. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a strong and highly visible Green Action Center in Winnipeg, where one of their main program areas is composting. I just think we're digging up and altering permanently these peatlands where the services from them are worth far more than the money being seen. Now, there's a question that's been coming up in discussions with other environmental organizations and with cottagers, and that is why we are mining peat rather than harvesting it. And there is research going on in the States. I don't know much about this yet, but the point that I'm hearing and that's under discussion is that if you harvest peat in a much less industrial and mechanized way where you're taking only a top layer off,
okay,
this is a completely different kind of concept or dynamic because you're not doing the damage. And I'm very curious about whether we're going to find a way to have a difference between harvesting and strip mining peat in Manitoba.
Huh. Okay, so now when we talk about harvesting, that's just digging up a little bit of soil with a shovel.
There may, in fact, be a mechanized way to do it. It's one of the cottagers are asking about this. Another way to think about it would be just as you just described, thinking about just turning back the clock and thinking about how peat may in the past have been harvested for use in gardens and so on. I'm not quite sure what SunGrow's description of making places what fertile that aren't.
Yes.
Means that's a bit of a stretch. Maybe that's got to do with their American customers, you know?
Perhaps, yes, all that irrigated land, that desert land. Now, and then also, as I understand it, peat, it's not, you have to constantly be replacing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just like a sponge and a sieve.
And it also takes, it took a long time to form our wetlands and our peatlands in Manitoba. And it's, this is why I'm interested in the conversations about low impact harvesting.
Right.
But right back to your question, is it sustainable? Do we need peat for our gardens? This line of questioning, I think, is very important, and the alternatives are very important. The Green Party in Manitoba has been talking also a fair bit about just basically stopping, leaving our peatlands intact and starting to work on alternatives, again, a whole range of options in terms of composting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so one last time, where can listeners find a little more information on how to voice their concerns or to government?
Okay. They're on our Manitoba Wildlands website. There's news items and page content, and the links are right on the homepage. And the Wilderness Committee Manitoba website has a citizen letter set up where you can take a look at it. If you're a cottager or you live near one of these strip mines, add to the text and then send it from their website where it goes to the licensing branch for in Manitoba Conservation, already has the name of the development and the file number and so on for the one that's in Grindstone that is got this February 3rd deadline. That's straightforward. We understand there's another one coming up right away. I haven't had time to figure out which company it is, whether it's SunTerra or SunGrow, because they're the two most busy in Manitoba in terms of peat mining. Mm-hmm. How are we doing on your time and your questions, George?
Well, I think we should be done. I guess, so manitobawildlands.org and wildernesscommittee.org/Manitoba. Are those
yes.
the websites?
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Gail.
Well, you're welcome. And I had a wonderful evening last Wednesday. There's nothing like seeing 45 or 50 Manitobans with all the same thing on their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of letting the province know that if they say there's a moratorium, there has to be a moratorium.
Okay, so hopefully we could keep the province on their word.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was Gail Wellen-Enns. Last time you heard her, we spoke about the Kyoto Protocol in Manitoba and how we plan to keep it up.